yesterday, timing is everything.
Maybe I should ask Rob if I'm hosting open mic again, because I think we talked about it, but we didn't. I'm just going to call him on the car. Oh, it's a voicemail again. Hey, Rob, it's Alice. I had a lot of fun at open mic last week, and I know we talked about me being involved, but I don't remember where we landed on it. Give me a call back. Thank you. Bye.
What the fuck is this? A voicemail? I hate these notifications. I can't get rid of it. Shut up. Maybe I can. I'll just pretend I just delete this thing. Let's do 1, 2, 3, 4. Alright. That's deleted. Do people not get emails? I wonder if people just don't get emails. Totally sent you guys emails about the problem. There's a problem.
Has he called me back? No. I texted him too. I'm gonna call him again. Don't go to voicemail. Don't go to voicemail. He went to voicemail. Hi, Rob! It's Alice. Yeah, I've been texting you and calling you, and it's getting close to that time. I just didn't know if I had to be there early. Do you want me to host again? I had a lot of fun, but I don't want to step on your toes, and I don't want to seem weird and clingy. Call me back. Bye.
No, what the? Another voicemail? I feel like I just got one of these a few seconds ago. Delete. Look, I don't know why people don't get their damn emails. I sent you guys an email about the snakes problem. I'm sure it's fine. I sent everyone emails. The freaking plant that closed. Nobody's going in. It's not going to be. I'm sure he posted something on the door. Huge snake.
I'm gonna have to just head over there. I'm reading tonight, so I have to be there. You know what? We're just gonna call him again. Don't go to voicemail. Don't you dare go to voicemail. Just gonna go to voicemail. Hi, Rob. It's Alice. I'm gonna come to open mic early. Give me a call back. Oh, hey, Jill. Is Rob here?
What's this? A voicemail. Delete. All right, like I sent literally everyone an email about the giant snake. So I really don't know what the fuck. Maybe I should go in. You know what? I'll just see if she sends messages. If she goes in, I'll just send her voicemails, and then I'll just read some Shakespeare or some bullshit. Thank you.
I didn't think so. He hasn't answered any of my voicemails or texts, and I wanted to make sure I... Oh, you're busy. Okay, I won't bother you. Oh, thanks so much for the coffee I had this last week. We're gonna put that over there. Let me go see if this mic is working. Testing, testing. Testing, 1, 2. Clap your hands once. Clap your hands twice. Clap your hands 3 times. Spin around. Nope. No dogs tonight. And, I don't know where Rob is. Kind of empty. All right. We had like 2 people last week. It'll be fine. Oh, Rob just texted me. Oh, I'm the co-host now? That's awesome! What do you mean you already posted it on social media? I'm cool with this, but... Oh, it's 7:15. We gotta go. All right. Hello, empty room. Welcome to the Cormorant Cafe with open mic night with your usual host, R. Wesley Edwards, currently missing again, and me, your new co-host, Annotated Alice. Rob messes up my name a lot, so I figured I would clear that up a little bit this week. My real name is Chloe, but my artist name is Alice, and I'd like to go by that when I'm doing art and writing related things, creative things. When I was younger, my dad read to me Alice in Wonderland a lot, and it was our favorite book to read together. He had a huge version, a big hardcover book, called The Annotated Alice, because it's not just the story, it is also annotations and context and history about what was going on when Lewis Carroll wrote it, or what it's referencing, or the historical satire, or just, I don't know why this is in here. I swear there's an annotation in that book that's just no clue why this is here, it's just here. So I decided to take that as my artist name and my writing name, also to honor my dad, who got me into reading and writing and mindful thinking and encouraged my creativeness my whole life. So tonight, if Rob shows up, he'll read some stuff, and I'm gonna read some stuff, and I guess I get to come back and host again next week, or co-host, or however this works. I'm gonna text Rob back. He's finally answering me.
Ring, ring, ring. Oh. Hi, Alice. I see you like sending people voicemails. It's fine. Here's a voicemail for you. Hey, put your phone... Can you restart the voicemail? I have no idea if this is even gonna work. Just hold your phone up to the mic. By the way, have you recorded all this stuff? Because you understand that it's a podcast. Yeah, we usually play to an empty room. I don't know why I'm talking to myself. Look, Alice, just hold the mic. Okay. Restart this. Hold it up to the mic. I'll try to make noise at the end. I'm just going to read some Shakespeare. How about, you guys, do you guys like his sonnets? I picked a sonnet, and this is sonnet 18, right? I'm probably just going to read it wrong, but this is the one that everyone knows. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? By William Shakespeare. I hope you put the thing by the mic. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May. The summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed, and every fair from fair some time declines, by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy external summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou oust. nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade. When in eternal lines to time thou growest, so long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee. All right, I'll just call you back a couple more times and read you some more sonnets. Yeah, maybe I'll call you three times. I'll read you a couple more sonnets. I hope she took it away from the mic. Hey, Alice, take it away from the mic. Anyway, I'm gonna call you. Sure, I have no idea. All right, I'll just call and leave voicemails, and hopefully she'll know what to do with it. I'll voicemail you the outro. You just take care of it. If people show up, they can read. I don't know. I hope you know that the red button is for record. All right. Well, that was fun. What did I say? Sonnet. What is the summer day one? 18, I think. All right. Well, that was 18. William Shakespeare. Famous British guy? Hey, it's in the public domain. I don't give a shit.
I started painting because of the pandemic. I started trying to figure out how to oil paint by only using Bob Ross videos in May of 2022. I had watched Bob Ross a lot when I was growing up at my grandma's house, and I really wanted to see if it was as easy as he made it look. Spoilers, it's not. It does take a lot of talent and a lot of practice, but talent is practice. Anyway, one of the things I learned about when I was painting was gesso, which is what you put on a canvas to prime it so that the paint sticks to it better and doesn't soak into the cloth of the canvas that you're painting on, and it makes a toothier kind of surface to paint on. It makes it almost like very fine sandpaper. So at some point, I started to play with different colors of gesso, like black, and Bob Ross does some of my favorite paintings using a black canvas. And there were a couple times when Bob Ross would smatter some gray. My window's open. I do apologize for those two, I hope not naked dudes, on a motorcycle that just went by. Anyway, I started playing with gray and black and white gesso, and sometimes Bob Ross would make almost like an abstract sort of scene or plot out in black gesso on the canvas before he does any oil paint the shadows or the scenery he's going to add color to later. So I started doing a few of those, and then one of them turned out to be almost thorns, like in The Lion King when Simba and Nala are trying to get away from the hyenas. It also reminded me of the helping hands in Labyrinth and staring into the face of the abyss. And what I decided to do with this painting was there's like a bright spot in the middle and a shadow of a girl, who is Alice from Alice in Wonderland, looking in like she's excited. You can't see her face, she's completely in shadow, but she's peering in like she's this bright spot, like she wants to go into the darkness, kind of like Lydia in Beetlejuice when she says, "I myself am strange and unusual, I want to go to the other side." Meanwhile, these thorns and these dark things, which actually represent the weirdness of Wonderland, the other, the things that living people tend to ignore, to quote Beetlejuice again. So even though I didn't draw specific Alice in Wonderland characters, it's supposed to portray Wonderland as thorny and complicated and dark and frightening and uncertain. But I knew when I was painting this, the point was Alice wanted to jump right in. Alice sees it and she's going, "Oh, awesome, I want to go there!" The thorns are like, there's light coming in? Light things don't usually get anywhere near us. We've had to settle for the darkness. So there, some of them are curious, some of them are afraid, and some of them are hesitant. And it always surprised me when I was reading Alice in Wonderland as a kid how little the inhabitants cared about her at all. They were like, "You are an inconvenience to us." So I like to imagine sometimes a version of Alice in Wonderland where the people there are excited to see someone new come in, kind of like the March Hare and the Mad Hatter, how they just sort of invited her into the tea party. And after I painted this picture, which is on my Instagram account, I wrote a poem, and it's called Down the Rabbit Hole. Down the Rabbit Hole, a poem by Annotated Alice. Alice went to the rabbit hole and called down to the shadows, "May I join you?" A dark thing grinned with sad chagrin and said, "But we're all mad here, dear." "Thank goodness," Alice declared, already feet first into the dark. "Then I've finally found where I belong."
Okay, I don't even know if this is really William Shakespeare, but I found this other thing that's supposedly Shakespeare. Oh. You put the thing next to the mic, right? Hello? Chloe? Alice? She's a teacher. She's smart. She'll do it. Alright, this is called The Phoenix and the Turtle by William Shakespeare. Let the bird of loudest lay on the sole Arabian tree, herald sad and trumpet be, to those sound chaste wings obey. But thou shrieking harbinger, foul precurer of the fiend, augur of the fever's end, to this troop come thou not near, for this session interdict, every fowl of tyrant wing, save the eagle, feathered king, keep the obsequy so strict, let the priest in surplice white, that defunctive music can, be the death divining swan, lest the requiem lack his right, and thou trouble dated crow, that thy sable gender marked makest with the breath thou givest and takest mongst our mourners shalt thou go, here the anthem dost commence, love and constancy is dead, phoenix and the turtle fled in a mutual flame from hence, so they loved and as love in twain had the essence but in one, two districts division none, number there in love was slain, hearts remote yet not asunder, distance and no space was seen twixt this turtle and his queen, but in them it was a wonder, so between them love did shine, that the turtle saw his right, flaming in the phoenix sight, either was the other's mine. Property was thus applied, that the self was not the same, single nature's double name, neither two nor one was called. Reason, in itself confounded, saw division grow together, to themselves yet either neither, simple were so well compounded, that it cried, how true a twain seemeth this concordant one, love has reason, reason none, in what parts can so remain, whereupon it made this thrain to the phoenix and the dove, co-supremes the stars of love, as chorus to their tragic scene, beauty, truth, and rarity, grace in all simplicity, here enclosed in cinders lie, death is now the phoenix's nest, and the turtle's loyal breast, to eternity doth rest, leaving no posterity. 'Twas not their infirmity. It was married chastity. Truth may seem, but cannot be. Beauty brag, but 'tis not she. Truth and beauty buried be. To this urn let those repair that are either true or fair. For these dead birds sigh a prayer. All right, well, I don't know if that made any sense to any of you. I don't even know if Alice held the phone up to the microphone. And if she did before, maybe she did this time. Hi, Alice. You can take the phone back. Anyway, that was Phoenix and a Turtle by William Shakespeare. You could say that instead of me, Alice, if you want, or not, whatever the... Is she doing a good job? Does it matter? Is anyone in the room? There's a giant snake! Giant... I sent you guys emails. Try not to get constricted, eaten.
This is a poem that I wrote for Kikia Boodle, who is an artist and a writer on Threads and Instagram. She created a kind of collage piece and gave a prompt for us to write something to her artwork. And she has some really nifty things in here, almost like Tim Burton-esque things in the background with like black and white stripes. And there's a woman down the bottom on a checkered floor, almost like a chessboard, wearing a dress similar to Alice's, but she's older. It almost looks like Queen Elizabeth. It might be Queen Elizabeth, but I can't tell. And the biggest thing that stuck out to me was a big sign in the middle, almost like a sign you would see on a boardwalk or near a casino. And it says, "Welcome to Wonderland." And the first thing that I thought was, nobody welcomed Alice into Wonderland. Everybody was like, no, you should know exactly what to do here. Go back to where you came from if you don't speak Wonderland. So I wanted to write a poem about the feeling of arriving somewhere that you're excited to go to, that you've purposefully put yourself in this place, and you expect a welcome, but you don't get one. And the kind of people who are my people, and what they do when they react to that. Welcome to Wonderland, a poem by Annotated Alice. Welcome to Wonderland, said no one at all, when curiouser and curiouser, little Alice did fall. No advice to recite, neither guide, map, nor song. At every queer turn, she was told she was wrong. You should already know this before reaching our land. You have no excuse to not understand. Now there is a sign to greet newcomers all, made by Alice, who waits there to say, how was the fall? And welcome to Wonderland.
Hey, Alice. Voicemail? Really? What is this, giving me a taste of my own medicine? Hey, well, if you're at the cafe, hold the phone up to the microphone. Alright, this is Sonnet 25 from William Shakespeare. I don't know, I've never heard it before, but it says, let those who are in favor with their stars... Which I guess is the title? Or it's just the first line and they're using it like the title? Alright, well, Sonnet 25, William Shakespeare. Let those who are in favor with their stars of public honor and proud titles boast, whilst I, whom fortune of such triumph bars, unlooked for joy in that I honor most, great princes, favorites, their fair leaves spread, but as the marigold in the sun's eye, and in themselves their pride lies buried. For at a frown they in their glory die, the painful warrior famous for fight, after a thousand victories once foiled, is from the book of honor raised quite, and all the rest forgot for which he toiled. Then happy I that love and am believed, where I may not remove nor be removed. All right, once again, that was Sonnet 25, William Shakespeare. Let those who are in favor with their stars. Sounds like the beginning of a sentence. All right, you know what? Instead of, you know what? I'll just head down there. See if there's a giant snake after all. I don't know. Yeah, that was nice. It was like Alice took care of everything. And, still don't know if I read anything. Look, I didn't write you guys anything because you're ungrateful bastards. And also, I worked really hard on a thing, a side project about an alternate reality. I guess it kind of counts as a story. Anyway, I was up all night. I was only going to do a little work on it. You know how these things go. You do a little work and then, oh, it's not that hard to just do the next part. And the next thing you know, you've stayed up all night and you've made a whole hour-long audio project. I'm sure everyone listening to this knows exactly how that goes. Anyway, I want to thank Alice for, Chloe or Alice, whatever we're calling her. I want to thank you for doing the intro and for doing all the reading. And I think I can blame myself. We had a person who was going to volunteer, but I sort of, you know how it's like when you're fishing and something bites and then you don't pull it, you think, oh, maybe it'll bite. And well, there was a bite, but we didn't reel that sucker in. I hope that person doesn't actually listen to the, I want you guys to listen to the podcast, but it's a metaphor. I don't think you're a fish and you're not a sucker. Please volunteer. Sucker. All right. Thanks again, Alice, Chloe. My name is Rob. Alice is Chloe. Chloe is Alice. She's the co-host. I've been making pictures because it's fun. The giant snake's name is Fred. And next week will be episode... So this was episode 3, season 3. Alice did most of the work. I was AWOL. There was the incident with the balloons. And it didn't hurt me more than walking would have, but they had to shoot me down. It was pretty scary, actually. But it's all right. It's okay. Who cares? It's fine. I'll try to find somebody to volunteer this week. Next week. Maybe that same person that disappeared. Anyway. So Alice set up a Discord, and I guess it's going to be that you guys can use the Discord somehow. I don't know. We'll have to iron that out. Let me see. This was episode 3. Giant Snake. Alice. Chloe. Me. I read some Shakespeare. She read her thing. A little bit of her thing. She also read some poems. There was like a thing where we weren't sure she was going to have anything to read. So she, I guess, wrote some poems. What was it, Alice? You wrote poems or you just resurrected some old poems? Don't worry. I do that all the time. I'm not judging. Totally judging. We want fresh, exclusive stuff. Oh, hey, remember when I said that audio stream thing was exclusive to the podcast? Yeah, I lied. All right, bye. This place is dangerous. Oh yeah, I forgot. You guys need to tip the barista. You need to buy me a coffee. You need to buy Alice a coffee. And she'll probably just spit it out because she's got some kind of problem with Jill's coffee. Yeah, I know. I'm offended too, Jill. What the hell? Oh, she left it there? I'll take it. Yeah, okay. It's a little cold. Can you microwave? I'll just drink the microwave. Just microwave that. All right, so tip the barista. Buy me a coffee, although not right now because I have this one coming back. Buy Alice a coffee, but you're going to have to go to Starbucks or something for it since she's so picky. And let me see. Don't buy the snake coffee. Although maybe, you know, they use the heat, so maybe he'll coil around it or something. Okay, check out the show notes for whatever. I don't know. So normally the podcast is a half-ass job on my part. This was less than even a quarter-ass. So good thing Alice was here. There wouldn't even be a podcast this week. Alright. So don't forget to tip the barista. Oh, buy the peanut butter and jelly quarters and stuff. Yeah. Oh, no, don't touch... Jill, stop her. Don't let her touch the machine.
I am reality's whore!